How many of you found out that time goes fast? Yeah? When I was younger, it seemed to go very slow. The older I get, the faster it appears to go. And that's something I want to talk to you about today, about making the most of our time, because it's just crazy. I mean, I can't believe it. Christmas is over. We're going to be celebrating a new year. And in some regards, this last year seems like it just zipped right by. But then there's days where it seems like this year's never going to end, right? Just kind of depends on the day, kind of depends on your circumstances. But the one thing I can say is no matter if it felt like it went fast or if it felt like it was slow, we all have the same amount of time. And the question remains, how are we going to use the time that God's given us? And so I want to invite you to join us on a journey today as we discover that. There's an outline if you want to follow along in the bulletins. If you're joining us on YouTube, there at home, God bless you this morning. You can find that on YouVersion as well. And we're going to look at the book of Ephesians, and it's going to be chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. But I'm going to kind of just chop through some of the verses. I want to take some time and just kind of look at them and what that means to us, because if we go by this too quick, we'll find out that we missed something important that God wants to speak to us today. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are what? Evil." It says the days are evil. Now, that's not really a news flash. All you have to do is turn on the television and you can see how bad things get. But he says, as time goes on, the days get more evil. And if you don't know where you stand, and if you don't know how to use your time wisely, you can find yourself swept away in either the busyness of the world, circumstances that take place. So time, it's something God gives us. It's something that's very valuable. And I can't believe it's going to be a brand new year here in just a few more days. You know, time goes so fast. I've heard people say this before. You tell me if you think it's true or not. The older you get, the faster time goes. Do you agree with that? Okay. When I was young, when I was, you know, a kid, time moved so slow. It's like, am I ever going to, you know, grow up? Which I'm sure my parents asked that same question many times. when am I going to get, you know, finally out of the house and do my own thing and that? But what I also found to be true is as a kid, I couldn't wait to grow up, so to speak. But once I grew up, how many of you find that you wish you could go back to being a kid again? You know what I mean? Okay, now maybe I don't know all of your family situations or scenarios. So I'm not saying going back if you had a horrible family or an abusive situation. I'm not talking about that. But as I'm older, sometimes I find myself wishing I could go back to being a kid, because I was a kid in the 70s and the 80s, okay? And you didn't have things to distract you like all the technology that we have today. You know, we've all seen the memes that are out there. You know, you knew when to go home is when the street light came on, kind of a thing. And that's when we knew to be home. You know, on the weekends, I would jump on a bus, a city bus by myself in the neighborhood, take a couple buses downtown, play at an arcade all day long, hang out at Woolworths. I'm really dating myself, I know that. But, you know, and all the stores that were down there. And then you'd get on a bus and get back home before it got dark, and mom thought nothing of it. Dad thought nothing of it. But if a half an hour went by after the sun went down, they started questioning, where were you? And, you know, I wish I could go back to those days, but I can't, and nor can you. And the time I had then is the same time that I have now. It just appears to be going so much faster. It's just zipping by. It went so fast, and I feel like in Ecclesiastes, when Ecclesiastes says, I once was young and now I'm old, he basically says, it's like, what happened? It's just, I was young and now all of a sudden, how in the world? You know, I'm going to be celebrating a birthday next week, my 42nd birthday. Do you believe that? 32nd? Okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm wishing, but it seems like it was just a few years ago. I was in my 30s. It seems like even just a handful of years ago, you know, Lisa and I were just getting married. Time goes so fast. And the question remains, how well are you doing at stewarding the time that God has given you? As a matter of fact, I was talking to Lisa about how fast time goes. And I just can't believe it. And so I was just kind of messing around, and I looked something up. I said, here's how you can If you're here today and you're wondering, am I old or not? Well, here's a little few questions I'll ask you. Some signs that remind us that we're getting older. One of them is when people look at you and say, you look great, and then add to the end of it, for your age, right? You might be getting older. You might be getting older if you barely do anything all day long, but you need a nap to keep barely doing nothing all day long. You may be getting older if, and this is the one that gets me, drives me bananas. This might be a sign if you're getting older, if you have to scroll down like crazy in a drop-down menu to find the year of your birth. You know what I'm talking about? You go buy a plane ticket or something, and it says, when's your birthday? January, and you put in the day, and then you hit the year, and you go, zzz, and you just, it's like spinning the wheel of fortune, you know, and finally you get down to 1970 or whatever year it was you were born. A sign that you might be getting old is your favorite kind of plans are canceled plans, right? Another sign might be every time you pass a bathroom, you think, well, I might as well go since I'm here. You might be getting a little older. You might be getting older when you injure yourself while sleeping, right? Yeah, you might be getting just a little bit older. You might be getting older when you use the word thingy because you can't remember what the thing's called, so you just call everything thingy. And here's a classic. You know you're getting older when you and your teeth no longer sleep in the same bed at night, right? You're getting older. Here's a bonus one if you really want to find out if you're old or not. Like, am I getting older? Would people say that I'm old? Now, I'm going to warn you, this can hurt your feelings maybe, so be careful if you do this one. But if you really want to know how old you think you are, go find a five-year-old and ask them, how old do you think I am? That could be very dangerous, couldn't it? You know, they could have lots of fun with that, but the point is time passes on and on and on. It keeps on going. Time's just zipping by, and we want to make sure that we use it well. The Bible talks a lot about time and how we steward that. There's time ahead of us. As we're getting ready, I know we still, next Sunday we'll be in a new year. And next year we're going to have 300 plus days of potential time. How are we going to spend it? What are we going to do with the time that God gives to us? Because no one knows the day nor the hour, right? When Jesus will call us home. We don't know when that is. So if you wait around and say, well, I'm just going to wait. I'll get to it. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it later, 6 months from now. You keep putting it off. You don't know the day nor the hour. So the time that you have right now, how are you going to steward that time? And how you choose to spend time makes a huge difference on whether you succeed, if I can say it that way, in life or not. Now, when I say the word succeed, let's be careful how we define success. Because your definition of success might be X amount of dollars in a bank. Your definition of success might be the car that you buy. Your definition of success might be the spouse that you're looking for. But we've got a standard called the Word of God that tells us what success is all about. And what I want to do today is I want us to look at how we can make the most of our time. I'm going to share with you three ways that we can make the most of our time. Obviously, I'll throw a few bullet points in there. But there's something that we need to grasp because time is very precious. Time is very valuable. But time is necessary. Sometimes time, things in life, they happen fast. And then there's times when things seem to go so slow. But it's all about time. It takes time for bread to rise. It takes time for interest to accumulate in a bank. It takes time for crops to grow. It takes time for youth to mature, for friendships to blossom, for fruit to ripen, for children to grow. It takes time. It's very important. But time is like the wind. You can kind of just let it tussle your hair, or you can harness it and use it for something beneficial in your life. Kind of like energy. If you harness energy, you can light hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes. It can give warmth to many, but it depends. What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to let it blow by you? Or are you going to harness that time? It really comes down to how you use time. Every single one of us, if I did my math correctly, has 86,400 seconds in a day. That's a lot of time. Now, I know seconds, just keep on going. Time doesn't stop. But how are you going to use the time that God has given to you? Time is like energy. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to convert it into something that's of value? You can squander time. You can ignore time. You can lose time. You can waste time. You can kill time. Henry David Thoreau put it this way. No one can kill time without injuring eternity. Diogenes, the Greek philosopher, said, time is the most important thing that man can spend, man or woman can spend. It's one of the greatest value, most valuable things that we have, yet it's one of the things that many times we don't pay enough attention to. Time is the most valuable thing. So how do you take this thing called time and convert it into what life is made of? What life is made of? And, you know, we're so busy in our lives. How many of you here, you know, it's been a busy season, just even because it's Christmas? You know, maybe it's busy today. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, once you get done talking, I got three more family Christmases to go to. Who knows? But time is busy. You know, you're always doing stuff. We've always got things to do. You're always going to be busy as a mom. You're always going to be busy as a dad. You're always going to be busy as a spouse, as an employer, as an employee. And as things get busy in life, there's going to be so many things that you need to do. Sometimes what we want to do is we want to parse that out. We want to divide up our time. But God says, no, I don't want you to divide time. He says, I want you to add more heart into the time that I already have given you, because we all have the same amount of time. No matter what your schedule looks like, my schedule looks like, we all have 86,400 seconds in a day. How are you going to spend that? Every one of us has the ability to do this, but are we going to do it? Are we going to develop the most valuable thing of time and put our heart into it? Because everyone has an equal amount of it. But it's how we use that time that determines our success, if I can say it that way. The book of Ecclesiastes calls it seasons. If you were to take a look in there, it's kind of a familiar portion. If you've been through the Old Testament and come across this, there's seasons of life. There's seasons of growing. There's seasons we find in life in harvesting. There's seasons for this. There's seasons for that. In other words, you need to expect something in every season of your life, every minute, every second, every day, and you need to convert it into something that's of value. You need to put your heart into that. You see, God asks us to put more heart into what we do, because the more heart you put into what you do, then it converts into something valuable called life. You know, you're living right now, but are you really alive? That's my question. You know, living life is one thing, but being alive is another. Understanding what it means to value the people that are in your life right now. I didn't say you had to like everybody or get along and always agree, but do you value them, or are you just living life, just going from day to day? He says, take that heart and put more of it into it. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. The clock is ticking. Time is marching on. And we live in a society that goes against the good use of time. This society, this world, is always trying to distract you. It's always trying to keep you busy. As a matter of fact, this world says, and it's a lie, it says the busier you are, the more important you are. But that's not necessarily true, is it? No. It's not about how busy you are. It's about the time that you have. How are you valuing that? What are you doing with that? The days, they're evil. But the life that you live, God says, if you'll put more heart into it, and cultivate that, you'll find out that there will be more life, more joy, more happiness. So what are some of the steps that we can do to cultivate that kind of a heart, that we can make the most of our days? Like I said, I want to give you three things, and then I'll talk a little bit about each of them. But here's the first thing that we've got to do, and I want you to write this down. You've got to know God's will for this year. Know God's will for this year. It's important that we take time. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He's speaking that to you and to me. Understand, he says, what the will of the Lord is. How are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is unless you spend time with him, talk to him? In other words, how does God expect us to improve as a mom, or as a dad, or as a student? He can't help us unless one thing happens on our side. We need to know what God's will is, or we end up living foolishly. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say that you have a ticket, a plane ticket to go anywhere in the world at any time that you want to go. How many of you would love a gift like that? It's a round trip ticket, so you're coming back. Don't worry. But some of you are like, yeah, I'll give somebody a one-way ticket, all right? No, but you get a ticket, a round trip ticket, and you get to go anywhere in the world that you want. You can go anytime that you want. So let's say that you say, I'm ready. I want to go. And you go up to the ticket counter and you say, here's my certificate. I'm ready to go. And the lady is going to look at you and say, okay. And she waits. And what is she waiting for you to say? She's waiting for you to say where you want to go. How is she going to know where you want to go unless you say something? And when I talk about knowing God's will for your life, we need to cooperate with God and say, God, what is your will for my life? Now, I know maybe you're like me, and I said, well, God knows his, remember Jeremiah 29:11, he has a plan and a purpose and all that stuff, and he says he's got this uniquely and divinely made just for you, so why didn't he just give it to me? My best answer is because you haven't asked. Well, Pastor, I've asked, and he hasn't revealed it completely to me. Sometimes he does that in a process, but here's what he's after. He's looking for your cooperation. He wants a partnership with you. He doesn't want to just be some religion that's out there and tells you what to do. He wants a relationship with you so he can walk with you and talk with you and reveal to you. So when you bring that ticket and you say, you come to him and you say, God, I want to know your will for my life. God will, he will tell you that. He will reveal that to you. And now the two of you can walk in partnership and fulfilling the will of God for your life. That's what God is after, a partnership. You see, you'll come to the Lord and you'll say, Jesus, what is it that you have for me this day? Well, Lord, what direction are you leading me in life? When he reveals that to you, sometimes, have you ever had the Lord speak to you and tell you things that he spoke to you and you said, that's just crazy. I don't know if I can do that. See, that's why he doesn't tell you and me everything right away, because we just call him crazy. But when we speak and we say, Lord, what's the next step for me to take? And he says, this is what I want you to do. I don't know if I can do that. Oh, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you draw near to him, he does what? Draws near to you. The Bible's full of his promises that says, if you'll take the next step, I'll tell you what to do for the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. And you'll find out 6 months down the road, you've grown in incredible ways because you know the will of God. How do you know it? By spending time partnering with God so that now it's no longer about a one-way street. I'm going to tell God what I need. I'm going to tell God what I want. I'm going to cry out to God when I'm in trouble. Now it's a two-way road. And I'm speaking to God and he's speaking back. I'm asking him for his will in my life and he's showing me what direction it is that I need to go. And it's a relationship. But if we're going to make this happen, here's what we need to do. A little bullet under that number one. Write this down. You need to take time to plan. You and I, we need to take time to plan. Just take some time. Often we don't take time and do that. Proverbs 16, verse 9. It's up on the screen there. Let's read that one together. You ready? Go. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. He says, if you will use your mind that I've given to you and take some time, I will direct your steps and tell you what the next thing is that you need to know in life. But oftentimes, we fail to take time to plan. You've got to take time. And he says, when you take that time, because if you don't take time to plan, how is he going to direct you? Now, he can. He's done amazing things in my life. But he says, but if you'll make time and you'll spend time with me, I'll reveal what the next step is. And I'll lead you in the next step that you need to go. You'll say, Lord, where would you like me to go? What would you like me to become? What's the next step that you would have for me? Someone once put it to me this way, and they said this. If you're failing to plan, then you're planning to fail. If you don't take time to plan, you say, we're just going to leave it to chance. It's not going to happen. Before you start off on any journey, we always look at a map or Google now. But we always plan something out. I remember when we moved to Dallas, Texas, and went to Bible College. Paul Bauer, Sharon's husband, drove all of our stuff down there. And I thought, what an amazing blessing for him to be able to do it. But he was more than happy to. You know why? Because he loved to go to restaurants, and he planned his journey based on where the best restaurants were. He planned his trip. And I thought, that's amazing. One of these days, I want to do that. You know what I mean? But if we can do that in our plans to just even help another person out, how much more valuable is it to make sure that we're spending time and saying, God, what do you have to say? You and I, we've got to take time and to plan things out in our life. Well, what about goals? What about goals in our life? Goals are not just desires. Here's what they are. That next little bullet, write down, goals are points of obedience and improvements. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, when I know that God is saying to me, he says, Jim, I want you to spend more time with your family. You know what I do? I make a plan to do it. I make a plan to do it. Because if he says, I want you to spend more time with your family, and I say, yeah, okay, I'll do that. But I've made no plan. I'm not written anything down. I'm not getting out my calendar. I'm not doing nothing. Chances are, we're not going to do anything. Because life's so busy, right? So when I spend time with God and he speaks to me, you see these goals that God gives you? They become points of obedience. And not only do they become points of obedience, but they become points of improvements in your life. How many times have you had the Lord speak to you and tell you some things that you either needed to start doing or stop doing? Has he ever spoke that to you? Now, you got to figure out that whole wrestling match and what that's going to look like. But you know, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, okay? I've done them. I've tried them. You know, starting the first of the year, I'm going to start this and I'm going to stop that. But I almost set myself up for failure. Because if I ever trip and fall down, and then all of a sudden I failed. You know what I found is that through the journey of life, when God speaks, if I would just simply obey him when he says it, it always works out much better. How about you? Does it work good for you when you do that? You just simply obey God. So when he tells me to spend time with my family, I get out my calendar and I make a plan. But there's times when the Lord speaks to me about me, and I've got to write it down. There's times when he says, Jim, maybe you need to start doing A, B, C, and D. Maybe you need to stop. Usually when God says maybe, by the way, he's not really saying maybe. I insert that. It just softens the blow, you know what I mean? Stop doing that. You need to stop doing that. Well, see, I knew it. God's always about telling you what to do and what not to do. No, that's not what he's doing. He's saying, because of this partnership, I want you to have life, and I want you to have life abundantly. I want you to have more of it. So here's what you should do, and here's what you shouldn't do. Now do whatever you want, because you get to choose. But you see, we always live with the consequences of our choice. But when God speaks to us, they become these goals that we set. They become points of obedience, and they become points of improvements in our life. I actually write down these things when the Lord speaks them to me. And I would love to tell you, every time God speaks to me, I do everything he says. I've got a perfect record. I'd love to tell you that, but I can't, because I'm not perfect. And sometimes I miss it. But I can tell you this. I have accomplished more of what God has told me to do because I wrote it down than if I never would have wrote it down. And I start all of a sudden becoming healthier, and I become better. And when you and I make appointments, you know, you've got things to do. We're all busy. We write appointments down on our calendars. That's called defensive planning. What I mean by that is if you got a hair appointment, you got to get your nails done, you got to go to the barber, you got to go grocery shopping, you got to, whatever it is, you put it on your calendar, right? Why do you put it on your calendar? Well, you put it on your calendar because you don't want to forget, because you know this is an appointment that I have. Defensive planning. I'm setting up my defense so that I can make sure it reminds me so I don't miss the appointments. Offensive planning would be something like this. Lord, what are you speaking to me, about my family? And when the Lord starts to speak to you, you start writing those things down. Goals that God reveals to you, you start writing them down. And when you get them done, then you start checking those off. Because in this world, I don't know if you knew this, now this statistic is dated, so it could have changed. But to the best of my knowledge right now, they say that 20% of knowledge in the workplace is brand new every year. Brand new. That means every year, at least 20% of what knowledge base, whether it be technology or the machines that you use, changes. And if you don't learn to become a learner, time will pass you by. Have you found that to be true? These things right here, they can work in amazing ways, but I don't know how to work it as good as my son does, because it's more in his age bracket and technology. When I can't figure something out, I just hand him my phone. It's easier for me. But then there's times when he teaches me things, and there's things that I learn and things that I need to know. In life, we have to be open to learning. Because when God reveals his will, he not only tells you what his will is, but he'll tell you how to accomplish it if you're open to being a learner. You got to be a learner. Now, in high school, I didn't like to be a learner. I didn't want to be a learner. I don't know how I got through high school. Had to be the grace of God. I don't remember reading textbooks. I remember opening them. I don't really remember anything I read. I read one book all through high school, To Kill a Mockingbird. And that's because they made me, right? And I thought, I can't wait to get out of school. I won't have to learn anymore. I won't have to take any more tests. I won't have to read any more books. Oh, man, was I mistaken. There's more tests out here in this world than there ever was in high school. There's more things going on in this world. I wish I could crawl back to my high school in those days, but I can't because that time has passed me by. It's passed me by. So what am I going to do about it? I can cry. I can whine. I can go snivel in the corner. I can say life's not fair. I can say I deserve, I demand, I expect. But that's not going to get me anywhere. The only thing that gets me anywhere is when I open my heart to learning. God, what is your will? What is it that you want to accomplish? And then I take time to plan that out, and I recognize those times when God speaks as points of obedience and improvement, because we have to be a lifelong learner. I've heard this a long time ago. I make it as one of my mottos, to just be a lifelong learner, because the moment you stop learning is the moment you stop leading. And you might say, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. No, Pastor, I work at Burger King. Well, you're a leader there. No, I flip burgers. I fry fries. By the way, those are good fries. And you're a leader. People are watching you. I'm in a high school. I'm doing the same thing you did, not reading books. You know, you're a leader. People are watching you. And the moment you close your ears to learning is the moment you become ineffective in leading. Whatever that means, leading for your life, leading for your future, leading for your marriage, leading for your children. And so I laugh now because I told you I didn't read hardly any books in high school. I hated reading, hated homework, hated tests. And I said, when I graduate high school, I'll never have to go to school again. Well, since then, I've been to community college. I've been to technical school. I went to Bible college. I did another schooling adventure. You know what I do sometimes just for kicks and giggles? I take a free online course just to learn. God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? I love to read books now. We went to visit a friend, and it was Lisa's friend, so they were talking, and I was bored, and so I grabbed this book, and this author of this particular book knew how to write very well. He made his chapters like 2 pages long. So people like me, when I read it, I flipped a page, and I was like, I just read a chapter. I feel good. I feel accomplished. I'm going to read another one. And I'd read another chapter. Before I know it, I'm 8 chapters in, and all of a sudden, I'm reading. And now I love to read, and I love to read different things. Why am I doing that? Because I want to be a learner. And by the way, it's not just about being spiritual. Okay, that's good, relationship-wise. I read books about the Holy Spirit. I read books about, you know, deepening our walk with Christ. I read books about soul care. I read but I also read books that have nothing to do with anything. You know what I do for fun, to just relax? I read murder mysteries. Somebody's got to die, right? And I got to try to figure out who it is. Nothing wrong with that. And then I read books that are just off in left field. I have a friend who gave me one. And when I describe the book, you're going to probably figure out who it is because he's here today. He gave me a book on dairy farming. Why do I need to know about dairy farming? Do you really think I'm going to go out there? That's not me. But here's the thing. I always learn something. When you read different areas, different books, you learn in different ways. It's not just about learning what you want, it's about learning what you need. And you got to be open to every avenue. You have to filter that. You have to, you know, have the Holy Spirit at the door. But I have an app on my phone called Goodreads. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's like a virtual bookshelf, okay? So I got all these books that I want to read, I got these books that I'm currently reading, and then I got all the books that I read. And it gives you a challenge. If you read 8 books this year, at the end of the year, it'll say, hey, your challenge is to read 15 books next year. And then you keep track of it, and it kind of spurs me on. And I enjoy it. My challenge this year was 35 books I tried to read this year. I am not going to make that unless I go home and start reading now. And maybe I can get 5 more books in. But here's the thing. I might not make the challenge that it set for me, but I read more than I've ever read in my life I'm open to learning. And when you are, it's not just about reading books. It's about having an openness so the Holy Spirit, when he comes in, he can read your heart and your life. He sees where you're at. He knows what's going on. And he'll start to speak to you. But you have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit teach you. You know the will of God. Number two, write this down. When you start making the most of your time, you need to renew. You do that by renewing your heart back to God. You renew your heart back to God. Each year, you have over 300 days, plus of time. And as I've already said, the challenge the Lord gives us is to put more of our heart into the time that we have. Don't try. You can't make more time. You can't create more time. You can't slow time down. You can't stop it. All you can do is put more of your heart into it. And sometimes we have so many tasks. We put so much into these tasks that it just becomes crazy. I know life is busy. I get that. There's seasons in your life. When our kids were younger, it was always go, 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 go. Now it's not so much. But it's the same amount of time. And the question is are we putting the same amount of heart that we had then now? Are we valuing the people around us? Are we valuing and cultivating that deeper relationship with God? He says one of the ways you do that is by renewing your heart back to God. So how do we do that? In Ephesians 5:18, that last portion, he said, you do it by being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, to put a little bullet in there, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit daily. Because when you do that, he says, I'll bring revelation into your life. I'll show you what you need to see. I'll tell you what you need to hear. I'll walk with you in that partnership. There's three things we really should ask God for every day. They're not in your outline, but three things that I wrote down that we should really ask God for every day. And that's this: Lord, come live your life through me. That should be, number one. Number two should be, Lord, come do your work through me. And then number three, Lord, come love your people through me. Those are the top ones that we really should be asking ourselves. Jesus, what do you have to say and what do you want to do? Because what happens when you ask those questions is we start working on that next bullet that's up there, and that's this. We develop a spirit of encouragement. I challenge you to develop a spirit of encouragement. It says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. When it uses words like that, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they're saying this: encourage one another. Lift one another up. Speak a positive word to somebody. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any of you become hardened with deceitfulness in your heart. Find somebody to encourage. And it says right here, I would encourage it, find somebody before the sun goes down. I challenge you today to find somebody that you can encourage today before the sun goes down, which, by the way, this season is around 5 o'clock, right? It gets darker earlier. I challenge you, find somebody to encourage. Why? Because you're cultivating that spirit of God within you. And don't take the easy way out, husbands and wives. Don't go to bed tonight and go, oh, shoot, pastor told me to encourage somebody. You know what? You're just doing an amazing job, honey. Get out of the box and find somebody that's doing something good and encourage their heart. How many of you here like to be encouraged? Anybody? How many of you here like to have something positive spoken to you? How many of you like to have somebody come up and tell you that, you're doing a great job, or, you look good today? And you got to be careful with that one, whoever's saying it to whoever, but you get what I'm saying, encouraging their heart. Well, if you want to hear those kinds of words, then start by being a person that says them. You go out and encourage others. I'm human just like anybody else, and I love to hear encouraging words. 3 weeks ago, unbeknownst to you, I brought my message up here, and this is where we're going, and the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. And I'm like, what do you mean, don't do that? You can't tell me that on Sunday morning. I've spent all week, I've prepared, we've talked, we've chatted about that. I text you, don't do this. And he said, just go this direction. And I'm like, all right, because how many of you know, whenever the Lord speaks, if you just follow his lead, everything will be okay. Amen? Okay, so he said, go that way. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And I went back to my office, and because I'm human like everyone else, I sat at my desk and I went, oh my gosh, was that any good? did it make any sense? Did I, and I was talking to God, Lord, did I, Did I communicate well? Did I connect with people? You know, were you honored by this? Were you, you know how you just go over that in your own mind? And I was just feeling a little bit just like, I don't know. And I'm not saying this so that you all have to come encourage me after service today, okay? I'm good. But I just want to show you an example of what the Lord does. I was just questioning that. And there was this funny noise outside my door. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what is that? And I opened the door. When I opened the door, there was somebody standing there. Like they were just waiting for me. You know, I'm sure they weren't. That'd be kind of creepy. But I opened the door. Boom, there they are. And they said, hey, I just wanted to tell you, that message today was amazing. It's one of the best I've ever heard on that topic. And the Lord really spoke to me. And there's some changes that are happening in my life. Thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. And I shut the door and I sat back down. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for encouraging my heart. It wasn't about, did I preach a good message? Some preachers are gifted at talking very well, but saying absolutely nothing at all. You know what I mean? I can talk to you all day long and not really say anything, but that's not going to accomplish anything. It's Holy Spirit, did you show up? That's what makes the difference in the world. But here's what he says. If you want to be the kingdom type of people that value, not only value your time, but you make the most of it, then start being an encouragement to somebody else. Challenge number one, because you're going to get another one in a minute, all right? Challenge number one, find somebody to encourage before the sun goes down today. And by the way, if the sun goes down at 5 and you remember at 7, go find somebody to encourage anyway. Don't use that as an excuse to cop out. But then that second bullet, write this down. Develop a spirit of gratefulness. Develop a spirit of gratefulness. If we're going to make the most of our time, we got to know God's will for this year. You know, take time and plan. You got to renew your heart back to God. And the way you do that is by asking him to fill you with the spirit. You develop a spirit of encouragement, and then you develop a spirit of gratefulness. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks, always giving thanks, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father. I think God is more concerned about my gratefulness than just about anything else in this world. The gratefulness of our heart. Always giving thanks for all things, it says. We lose gratefulness so quickly, don't we? Can we just be honest about that? I mean, we're grateful, we're happy for what we have, but how many times have you gotten what you wanted, and then once you got it, you weren't very grateful for it any longer, and you were on to the next thing? Now, I'm not saying that you weren't grateful, but it's about cultivating and developing a spirit of gratefulness. I remember when Lisa and I first got married, we lived in an apartment on Main Avenue. It was, it was rough, right? The apartment. And it was back there by the old McElhaney's, if you remember where we're talking down by the river. But we were happy because we were young, and we'll just leave it at that. But all of a sudden, the apartment, we're like, you know, we don't really like this apartment. So we started looking for something else, and we found a Quonset hut. How many of you know what a Quonset hut is? You know, it's that, we called it the watermelon house, you know, because it's like an army barracks. But it compared to the apartment we had, this thing was amazing. It was beautiful. It was in Comanche, good location. So we decided that we were going to move there. And we were grateful for about 2 years. And then after about 2 years, we're like, we're living in a half a watermelon. We're living in this is like an army barracks. And all of a sudden, we lost our gratefulness. Now, I'm not saying that we were horrible people. We just, and how many of you know it's okay. There's seasons in life where this is going to be the old, and God is going to bless you with something new. But he likes to bless you when you have a grateful heart, and when you can have that spirit of encouragement, and you're thankful for what you have. You know, you can have an old car and say, you know, man, you know, I need a car so bad. God blesses you with like a Yugo, okay? And you're excited. Why? Because I've got a car. But 6 months later, you're like, I got a crappy car. I got a Yugo. You know, this thing's falling apart, rust everywhere. What happened to your gratefulness? What happened to you being thankful for what you have all the while you have it? Oh yeah, God can bless you with more, but what he's more concerned about is whether we have this spirit of gratefulness. God is saying, try to learn to be grateful for one thing. So here's challenge number two. Number one, find somebody to encourage. And I want you to think about, what's one thing that you can be grateful for? It says every day, by the way. Every day. Find something to be grateful for. Can you just think of one thing? You know, you can start with something simple. I'm grateful that I have clothes to wear. I'm grateful that I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful that I have a family. I'm grateful that I got the church. You know, there's 100 things. It doesn't matter how simple or how complex you try to make it. When you're grateful, that catches God's attention. Because there's something that brings life. And that's what his desire is. Because when you make the most of your time, then there's something. There's a difference between living life and being alive. You know what I mean? You can live life day to day to day to day to day. And it's just another day. But when you cultivate this kind of a heart, you become alive. There's joy that rushes back into your heart. And that's the challenge that we have today. How do we make the most of our time? Number three, our last one is this. He says, prioritize relationships within the family. When you and I can come to a place where we know God's will for our life, we're renewing our hearts back to God, then he says, I want you to prioritize relationships in the family. Why in Ephesians, I'm just going to reference these verses, but then I'll tell you why. But we hear it in weddings often. This is where it says, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 6 says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Now, I'm not getting on a soapbox about that. My point is simply this. He says, relationships are important. He says, they're wired in a specific way. And this is how they function at the greatest capacity. You got to make a plan. You got to choose family sometimes, right? Like, when we go on vacation, I don't just wake up one day and we say, hey, let's go on vacation. We just spontaneously, randomly go on vacation. When we go on vacation, we make a plan. We put it on the calendar. We section this time out. This time is for my family. I make it a priority. Lisa does that for me. We make a plan. We prioritize the relationship and we say, this is time that we are going to give. This is why it's so important to make the most of our time, because time is going to go so fast. It's going to go so fast. If you're here and you have young children and say, when they finally get up and out of the house, we'll go do this and we'll go do that, chances are you won't if you don't make a plan. Time goes so fast. Enjoy the time that God has given you, but value it. Understand the depth that is there. He wants you to cultivate that kind of a heart. Husbands, don't stop courting your wives. Wives, don't stop courting your husbands. I had a friend of mine, because he said, just because you're married doesn't mean that you stop courting one another. And then he said this, a pastor friend of mine said, if there was more courting in marriages, there would be fewer marriages in court. Very simply put, but very deep truth. One of the reasons relationships fall apart is because we're unwilling either to spend time or to listen to what the other has to say. We don't give value on the other person. Sometimes we're just so passive in our marriages. And he says, stay engaged. Don't get passive in the relationships. Otherwise, you end up like Milo and Mary. Milo and Mary weren't doing very well. Milo looked at his wife, Mary, and she was just all pasty and wasn't responding. And he thought something was wrong, took her to the doctor and said, doctor, I don't know what's wrong with Mary. And she just was unresponsive, unhappy, you know, just nothing there. And the doctor looked at Milo and said, well, have you talked to her? And Milo said, no. Well, do you engage in conversation at all? No. Have you done anything to kind of connect with your wife? No. And with that, the doctor picked up Mary and embraced her in a huge hug. And all of a sudden, she lit up and she smiled. And he said, Milo, that's all you need to do. She needs affection. She needs a hug every now and then. To which Milo responded and said, good, I can bring her on Tuesdays and Thursdays if that works for you. Don't you dare farm that out to anybody else. There's going to be times when God will speak to you and say, this is what you need to do. This is how you can serve others around you. And when you respond to God, what you're doing is you're prioritizing relationships within the family, converting time into something that's so precious and so valuable. Find out what God is asking you to do so that you'll know the will of God. And then you can put more heart into that. John 10:10. I said it at the beginning of the message, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know that, you know, we're getting ready to start a new year. And I know this message is kind of a beginning of the year message in that, but this shouldn't be just for the beginning of the year. It should be a challenge we ask ourselves every day of our life. Lord, what are you speaking? What do you have to say? We should be cultivating that gratefulness and that encouragement in our hearts and life, because the enemy's always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came to give you life and to give it to the fullest. How can we make that the most valuable thing? Well, it's right here what we talked about today. Know God's will. Take time to be with Him. Renew your heart back to Him and watch what God will do. I challenge you this week to encourage somebody, anybody, the waitress when you go out to eat, a family member who holds the door open for you, whatever it takes, and cultivate that within your heart and find one thing to be grateful for. Because when you start doing that, God will illuminate the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and get you to where His will that He has for you in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank You for Your will, Your love, Your heart, Your life. Lord, I thank You that You love us so much that You sent Your Son to die for us. But not only that, You love us so much that You sent Your Holy Spirit to walk with us, to reveal things to us. Lord, we're asking today that this time that we have, none of us know the time, the day, nor the hour that You might call us home. So while we have today, we ask that You would take the time that we have and help us to pour more heart into it, to cultivate a kind of a heart that can encourage, that can build up, that can serve, and that can show love for one another. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.